Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. February 10th, 2021. With me today, I have Co-Chair Senator Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Hoffman, Senator Wilikowski. Senator Wilson is out on other business, and Senator Olson. So we have a full contingent here today. As far as excused and members that are here. And on the agenda today, we're going to continue yesterday's presentation dealing with the CARES Act funding update and impacts from the Office of Management and Budget. Mr. Neil Stenninger, if he can come forward, he is the OMB director, and he'll be enthusiastically introducing himself for the record, taking us through these slides, answering questions. I see he has brought some assistance for lifelines if need be, and I'll leave that up to him as we walk through if he wants to have assistance on any questions or additional presentations, information on any slides. So, Mr. Director, it's all yours.
Good morning, and for the record, Neil Stenninger, Director, Office of Management and Budget. And I'd like to start off real quick to just correct the record on a couple of items from yesterday. First, on the slide that's in front of us, slide 8 related to the UI trust, the projected balance listed at the bottom of 441.7, that balance is inclusive of federal funds that pass through that trust for federal benefits. After the presentation yesterday, we had a conversation with the economist at Department of Labor who explained the more accurate and more pertinent number to use is $294 million. If there's any questions on that, I believe we have Director DiBartolo and possibly Lennon Weller, economist with Department of Labor, on the line if anyone has questions related to those balances.
We have some folks online for lifelines if there's questions that can't be answered. We have any questions on the updated slide? Senator Von Imhoff.
So with that new updated number, does the unemployment, is that sufficient? Is it too low? Do we need to recapitalize it? What's the liquidity of that number?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that number is still within the range of sufficiency. So it's not, too low. It's not at the higher end of the range either, though. They still consider that to be a healthy number, but it's not at the high end of the range.
Other questions on the first slide? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and continue on.
And one other correction related to, there were questions yesterday, I believe it was from Senator Olson, about the amount of money available through the CARES Act for tribal entities. And we received clarification after that allocated amount has not been reallocated to other entities, so it's still being held by the federal government. I think there's just a little bit of confusion and uncertainty on that issue at the table yesterday.
Senator Olson, do you have any follow-up or comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Of that amount that's being held, do you have any amount that's not been distributed? What portion of it has not been distributed? As I remember, it's 525,000 or something.
For the record, Paloma Harbor, fiscal management analyst with the Office of Management and Budget. It is $533 million mm-hmm. that's being set aside pending litigation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead and continue.
Thank you. And moving on to slide 9. Slides 9 and 10 both go through funding available for education through both the CARES Act and CERSA. This first slide is covering funding through the CARES Act, so that's funding that was received over the course of this last summer, and most of this funding has been distributed out. You can see within higher education, $7.9 million went to the University of Alaska. However, half of that was reserved directly for students. Also, the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, AVTEC, received $71,400, again, half of that being reserved for students. UA also received an additional $2.6 million for the Minority Serving Institution Funds. And the Department of Education received several different grants directed in, you know, to several different entities, but flowing through the Department of Education, the largest being ESSER, the Elementary Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund, and that was $38.4 million, of which 34.6 was specifically in the federal legislation, specifically directed to local education agencies. These in Alaska would primarily be your school districts. $3.8 million was directed to be used by the state education agency, which would be the Department of Education. The maximum amount allowable to be used for administrative purposes was $192,000, so primarily that money was directed towards assisting with, you know, delivery of education and those types of services. The Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund was a little bit more open-ended in its ability for use, so long as it was within, you know, the bounds of educational relief, but there's more discretion in how that was distributed. 3.7 of the $6.5 million were sent out as grants to school districts. The University of Alaska received $1.5 million. We issued some competitive grants for education-related entities of around $1 million. And Native Science and Engineering program received $200,000.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Mr. Steininger, do you know if there's any money being given to broadband or data communication, whether it be satellite or whatever it may be? And in your opinion, is that a big need?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I believe there was broadband-related relief in CERSA, the most recent act. That's I can't speak to how that flowed through the state or if it was grants directly to broadband providers. We could ask, I believe, Lacey Sanders, Admin Services Director for Department of Education, which has the Broadband Access Grants Program, is on the line and might be able to speak to some details of how that money flowed, if it did, in fact, flow through Department of Education.
Right. Ms. Sanders, I see you're online for questions. If you can introduce yourself for the record and help Senator Von Imhoff with that question, and then when you're done with that, I'd like you to give us a rundown on the school district grants of 3.7. And then we'll go on to Senator Wilikowski.
Sure. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I am the Admin Services Director for the Department of Education and Early Development. To address Senator Von Imhoff's question about broadband and infrastructure, the money that OMB Director Steininger was speaking to in the CERSA bill is funding that would go directly to providers. It doesn't flow through the Department of Education. However, the money that school districts are receiving through both the CARES Act and CERSA is available to be used for things like broadband infrastructure or devices, technology that provides connectivity. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Did you by chance know how much money went directly to providers for broadband?
I do not know that. Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, we can research that for you. Because it doesn't come to the Department of Education and Early Development, I don't have specific information on that. I do apologize. There was an earlier question about broadband, or a comment made about broadband. And yes, there is broadband through a bill that was passed last year expanding broadband access, which is also referred to as the BAG program, that broadband access grant through the Libraries, Archives, and Museums. They have done extensive work over the last year to ensure school districts have available grant funding to also address the connectivity issue. And again, Senator Von Imhoff, and through the chair, we can follow up with them to find out the additional information that was provided in CERSA.
That would be nice. I think that subject matter is of interest to the committee, the broadband around the state, and if you could try to, between yourself and the OMB, maybe try to put something together to help the committee. We're going to be looking at that when we look at school funding and capital projects or what have you. It's a significant issue that we want to keep track of.
May I continue, Senator Stedman?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I believe the second part of your question was in relationship to the $3.7 million that was awarded to school districts from the GEAR funding?
Correct.
Okay. So with the original allocation under the CARES Act, there were several school districts that, one, are not eligible for the Title I-A distribution that the funding is federally required to be allocated to. In addition, the governor was reviewing the amount of money that would be necessary to provide school districts with a minimum of their allocation under the $30 million additional funding that was removed from the budget. So the governor chose to allocate $3.7 million to school districts to make ensure that those school districts receive funding to address COVID needs.
Okay. Any other questions on Senator Bishop?
Not a question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. You don't have to, but it would have been nice if we could have had an asterisk when, like, higher education fund, all your bulleted points when the money comes in, what time of the year did that come, right? Because, you know, and I think people could track better, because also another an asterisk would have been good was which of these funds was approved with LB&A. And anyway.
Yeah, you can help us with clarity on that. You want to respond to that, and then we'll go to Senator Wilikowski.
So through the chair, Senator Bishop, These funds, the ESSER and the GEAR funds, were both approved through LB&A during the summer. And so these, everything on this sheet came in through the original CARES Act that was, you know, early spring of last year. The distributions out to districts took a little bit of time to understand the distribution rules and further approve those after the LB&A committee approved access to the federal receipts.
That follow up, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And I just, like the chair always says, for those following at home, there's so much money coming at us so fast, it's kind of nice to chronologically keep it in order as we're receiving it. Thank you.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the funding that's going to school districts going out according to a formula or base student allocation formula or some other formula?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the $34.6 million for local education entities went out per federal title formulas, and Director Sanders can probably explain a little bit more detail which federal formulas those were. And then, as she mentioned, the $3.7 million was to ensure that, you know, we were able to fill in gaps where there were districts that weren't eligible for the 34.6 to ensure they all districts did receive sufficient relief.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, and then who are the education related entities that received the $1.03 million?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I think I'll ask Director Sanders if she might be able to explain exactly who those entities are.
Ms. Sanders, can you help Senator Wilikowski on his question of who was the grant recipients of the $1.03 million competitive grant awards?
Yes, of course. For the record, this is Lacey Sanders. Through the chair, the governor's education, or the GEAR funding that was awarded through a competitive grant process, we have a list of those entities that I can provide to the committee. If you'd like, I can walk through reading those names now, or I can provide a response to the committee.
Follow up.
If it's not a lot of names, I'm just curious, is it How many names is it? Is it just a few? I'd be curious who they are.
Through the chair, it's approximately 15 or so entities. There is, and I apologize if I mispronounce this, Igiaga Tribal Library, Little Angels Child Care Academy, STAR, Juneau Alaska Music Matters, the Alaska Heritage Foundation, Rural Cap, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Alaska, Sea Stories, Anchorage Public Library, Discovery Southeast, Child Care Connection, also known as THREAD,
Sanders,
CIRC.
Sanders, we could, I think the better way of doing that, getting to that answer, tomorrow we're going to talk about K-12. Could you put it on a slide for us, get it to us in a spreadsheet, so we can see not only who, but the dollar amounts?
Through the chair, absolutely, yes.
I think that would be beneficial to answering the question. And also the grants to the school districts, I'd lay that out for the committee also.
Yes, of course.
Senator Wilikowski has some more questions.
Just one last question. With the specific amounts for all, I mean, there's billions of dollars flown around, and I think many people in the public, I know I've had people ask me where the money's going specifically. Can you find this information out publicly anywhere? Is it on the state online checkbook or any online source that people can go?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the Department of Education's website has an area that is focused specifically on the funding that we've received both for ESURF and for GEARF, and all of these details are out there and available on the website. To meet Senator Stedman's, the chair's request, we can provide documentation at tomorrow's meeting as backup.
Okay. Any more follow-ups?
I guess maybe for OMB, and it's just a broader question. I appreciate that this information is somewhere. I don't know how a member of the public would very easily find that. Can we find all the information, all the billions of dollars that we received? Is it on the state's online checkbook, or can you get it on there?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the information about expenditures that we've been making have been reported on a monthly basis to the legislature. Not necessarily all of that information has been posted to a website. I believe we've started to post some of it to websites. And individual departments, such as Department of Education, as they make grants, post reports about grant distributions and things of that nature, making them available for public consumption.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Sanders, on the ESSER funds of $38.4 million, is there anywhere, can you give a report as to where those dollars went to in school districts and how are they spending them and at what level are they spending them? Have they, since this was already approved by budget and audit, has the vast majority of these funds already been spent? And while you're doing that, I wonder if you could also report to the committee on the AvTech funds for students, the $35.6 million. Where did those dollars go, and have they also been, the vast majority of them, been spent, and for what purpose? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Sanders, if you could help Senator Hoffman with that question, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I can provide reports to the committee. We have already provided the Senate Education Committee with the information, so it's very easily to provide it tomorrow during the meeting on what has been spent at the school district level. I would like to note that, yes, while this funding is available to school districts and has been awarded to school districts, they do have an extended time period to spend these available funds. So, for example, under the CARES Act money, they have until September 30th, 2022, And with CERSA, the funding is available until September 30th, 2023. So the money is available to school districts, but they have an extended time period that they have to spend it. And we also have, you know, a breakdown, The CERSA money that was recently appropriated by the federal government and approved by LBNA hasn't gone out to school districts yet. The application is being prepared. We have to do some work in our grants management system to have the application ready, and it should be ready shortly. But again, the focus right now has been on getting the CARES Act money to the school districts as they request those funds to be reimbursed.
Okay. Any follow-up question or anything? Okay. Any other questions on slide number 9? Okay, Ms. Sanders, we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow with some of the more detailed information, and we appreciate that. Slide number 10.
Slide number 10 covers a lot of very similar programs to slide number 9, but these are the funding levels for those programs through the CERSA bill, the most recent federal relief bill from late December. So the Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds were increased. You can see the University of Alaska received $17.4 million. One difference here between CERSA and CARES during in the CARES Act funding, half of that money was shared directly to students through the mandate of the CARES Act. In CERSA, primarily most of the money went to the institutions, with still some money held off to be distributed to students. So you can see $3.9 million of the university funding went to students. And at AvTech, they received $252,000 and $35,700 of that was directed to students. If you'll remember from my presentation on supplemental needs, AvTech has a supplemental need to replace lost revenue. That is after these pots of funding are accounted for to backfill losses. So the loss to tuition to AvTech was significantly in excess of these pots of federal relief. So just for context, when you're looking at those other items related to AvTech. UA will also receive additional funding through the Minority Serving Institution Funds. At the time we put these slides together, that amount is undetermined. ESSER was also increased. $159.7 million is available, $143.7 of that being distributed to school districts, $15.2 million of that reserved for Department of Education. These funds were granted through an LBNA committee meeting that happened shortly before session started so that the Department of Education can begin working with districts on these grants. Also, the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund was had an additional amount come in from federal relief of $2.8 million. And there's emergency assistance for non-public schools of $5.4 million. Again, with some stipulations on the maximum amount of that, that can be used for administrative costs in distributing those grants.
Senator Wilikowski.
If we could at some point get a list of that $5.4 million non-public school allocation, where that went. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think Ms. Sanders, could you tomorrow in your preparation for the presentation here also include this slide in your breakdown and data, because I think, you know, the committee would be very interested when we look at the BSA, the base student allocation funding around the state. We have a good feel for all the COVID relief funds coming into the school districts around the state, and also I'm sure we'll be talking about student achievement along the last several months also.
But if you could. Yes. Okay. Senator Stedman, if I may also just comment really quickly on that $5.4 million. That is a new allocation. It's referred to as Emergency Assistance for Non-Public Schools, EANS. Non-public schools will have to apply for that funding. Because the Department of Education doesn't require non-public schools to submit their information, we will be posting an application and reaching out to the non-public schools that we are aware of, based on the department just doing a search, a diligent search through websites and public schools and statewide databases. But what I can provide the committee is a list of the schools that we have identified. We don't know if they will apply, and so therefore I can't provide the committee with an allocation of that $5.4 million. I can only provide a listing of the schools.
Okay, thank you. And I think what we'll probably do, because as you referenced, it's ongoing. I'd like you to consider when you lay this information out of the last two slides, you lay it out in a format so it can be easily updated for the committee as time goes on, because I'm sure we're going to want to, when this becomes retrospective, we'll want to look back and see what and where all these funds went to. Other questions on slide number 9, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the listening audience, Stacy, what is included in the local education agencies, and where does school districts fall in that category?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, excellent question. Local education agencies are what we refer to in the state of Alaska as the school districts. The state education agency is the State Department of Education.
So there are no other entities under the agency category that receives funds except for the school districts?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have other questions concerning this slide. Okay, we'll speed along to slide number 11.
Slide number 11 is moving into relief received directly by the Department of Transportation or other transportation-related entities around the state. In the CARES Act, there was funding through the Federal Aviation Administration, $82.5 million of which went to the state of Alaska. The Alaska International Airport System received $33.1 million. This can cover a lot of different costs within the airport and is being utilized throughout that system between Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airports. The rural airport system, so Alaska manages and owns quite a few airports throughout the state, and so we received $49.4 million that can go towards operation and maintenance of those airports. It can also cover revenue shortfalls. This is one of those areas where, you know, CARES Act had certain funding that very explicitly disallowed revenue shortfalls. So there's been an area of, you know, a little bit of confusion because there were some explicit prohibitions on revenue shortfalls, but there are a couple of the grants through the CARES Act that allow for backfilling of revenue shortfall, and this is one of those areas. You'll see in the fiscal year 22 budget proposal that we've put forward that this rural airport system funding has a longer time horizon that it can be used for, and so we're utilizing some of that funding to cover ongoing maintenance costs at those airports to lessen general fund need and Department of Transportation. But that money is not permanent. That money is short term, and so is a one-time use of being able to offset some general fund costs in that system. There also was $28.8 million in funding for FTA, Federal Transit Administration. So for the state of Alaska, a lot of that went to the Alaska Marine Highway System, about $10 million, and that's for assistance in operating the system as well as COVID mitigation on those vessels as you board the vessels and you have, you know, people kind of stuck in congregate settings to mitigate the impacts of COVID in that situation. There's also other non-urbanized area transit, $18.8 million for rural and inner city operating assistance. In CERSA, a lot of these same grants were increased. The Federal Transit Administration grants, $55.8 million was received. $77,000 went to Fairbanks through community grants, and there's rural area transit of $55.7 million. Again, this allows for revenue shortfall backfilling, as well as operating and maintenance. The FHWA, the Federal Highway Administration, provided $124.4 million for surface transportation funds. We introduced an RPL shortly before session to utilize some of that money to reopen a handful of maintenance stations, Silvertip, Chitna, and Birch Lake, at $2.1 million. The rest of that money has not been specifically allocated yet. It has a wider discretion on use as long as it's within transportation-related areas, so that money can be used for a lot of different things. We've not yet specifically allocated it.
Go ahead until you're done with the slide, and then we have a series of questions. Okay. Are you done with the slide?
Yes.
Okay. We'll start with Senator Von Imhoff, and Senator Hoffman, and Senator Bishop.
Thank you. So in theory, some of these, like the community grants and so forth, could technically go to a private company that's doing work on the roads or the airports or something along that line?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, if there's a private company contracted with Department of Transportation to do maintenance work, you know, they can use a lot of this maintenance money for, use a lot of this federal relief money to cover maintenance work, and so that might involve contractors, if that's the question that you're asking.
Yes, I just wanted just to kind of point out that $5.8 billion, is that what we talked about yesterday? Total CARES Act money so far has kind of come into the state, and it's been distributed in all sorts of ways in the state of Alaska, many of it to public entities, but many of it to private individuals, private businesses, nonprofits. So there's been some questions about, you know, which entities is receiving these grants, and it's like every nook and cranny in the state, public, private, nonprofit, individuals, businesses, you name it. Thank you.
We have Senator Hoffman, I think, next, and then Senator Bishop, and then we'll go to Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Director, the last bullet point where the $122 million has not been allocated, what is the process from the administration's viewpoint for allocating those dollars, and what involvement is the legislature going to have in that allocation process?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the allocation of this money will come through appropriations of federal receipts to Department of Transportation, whether it be for operating maintenance or within the capital budget. But that will be, appropriation, recommendations and proposals from the governor's office for budget amendments for consideration by the legislature and this committee.
So you're referring to the STIP, Transportation, Statewide Transportation Improvement Program, or what?
Chair Stedman, so this Federal Highway Administration funding, it could be used for capital projects that otherwise would be in the STIP. It can also be used for operating. And if you want kind of more detailed information on the various categories of funding that can be used for, we can get with Department of Transportation and provide you some more information on its potential uses.
I think that would be advisable. Senator Hoffman, you follow up?
Yes, a follow-up. You had stated that the guidelines for the utilization of this $122 million is a little bit looser. So the question that I have is, can any of it be used on capital?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, it can be used for capital projects as well as operating maintenance. And so the area that's looser than kind of what's commonly talked about in terms of the CRF money, it doesn't have to be a project directly tied to COVID mitigation, and that's where that additional flexibility is. It's more for support of operating or of capital projects for highways.
So exciting, Mr. Chairman.
And then I was Von Imhoff now, Bishop next, and Von Imhoff. We'll just go down the table.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've already used four note pages on Senator Hoffman's questioning, helping with the capital budget.
We're not even out of Fairbanks yet.
I want to go back to the 18 million federal transit to rule and inner city operating specifically. If your office or DOT, they got three people online, if they could get us a list of where that monies was distributed in rural Alaska for transit, I would appreciate it. To the committee.
Yeah, we'll have the DOT break a lot of this stuff down through the subcommittee process also, and we'll be bringing all those lists back to the committee so we get a good idea where all the funds are going around the state. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Steiniger, under the $49 million that you talked about, the rural airport system, it talks about operating and maintenance. Is there any room in there to go ahead and try and get some of the new equipment for the areas that are out there? Because we've been trying to get a snowblower for one of the airports outside of Nome for several years now and have not had any success at all. Is there any of that amount available for capital investments?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I might ask Department of Transportation if they might have somebody on the line that can speak a little bit more specifically to how they're using that FAA money, and they might be able to speak to that specific airport, or we can get back to you.
Mr. Carpenter, you're online. I see there. If you could introduce yourself for the record and then help Senator Olson with that question, the snowblower question. I know you're familiar with it. If it can be addressed with these funds or other CARES Act or the other CARSA Fund Act funds.
Through the chair, yes, Rob Carpenter, Deputy Commissioner DOT. If I could defer to Deputy Commissioner Bender, if you don't mind, on that.
Sure. Hot potato goes to Mr. Bender. If you could help with that question, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Bender, Deputy Commissioner with Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and through the chair to Senator Hoffman. Yes, the short answer is that the way the funds were distributed, they did not include capital improvements. So it was specifically for maintenance and operations and whatnot for the airport, normal day-to-day type expenses.
I can follow up, Chairman. Mr. Bender, as we've looked at some of the, as has been pointed out, the $5.8 billion have come in through the CARES Act. Is any of that money, and only 49 has gone to rural for operation and maintenance, is there any money out there for capital improvements for some of the airports, specifically the snowblower out of one of the Nome airports?
To the chair, Senator Hoffman, as of this point, the restrictions on those funds have been pretty specific and have not included capital improvements to airports. They've been specifically for relief, revenue backfill, some of those kind of items for day-to-day operations that have been impacted by COVID.
I continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
With all due respect, Mr. Bender, I'm actually Senator Olson from Nome. And I just want to know if there's any other monies that are available to go ahead and provide for the snowblower need that's up there with us being in the dead of winter, the airports being shut down for an extended period of time is a reality. And I've been working on this for several years and have not had any success. Is there any other money besides the CARES Act money that can go into that, that can go to purchase that piece of equipment?
Senator Olson, through the chair, and I apologize for wrong name there prior. Yes, I know we've been working with you for quite some time on this item and the challenges surrounding having a blower up there. At this point, there are not funds available for an additional blower at those locations. We continue to assess that, though, and make sure we're allocating the equipment we have priority-wise across our state airports there, but certainly understand the desire for having a blower at those locations.
No further questions.
Senator Olson, I know you're very concerned about rural airports, and you sit on the DOT subcommittee, so I think I'll assign you the airport section of the DOT subcommittee.
Okay.
And you can work on this issue and other issues
south
of Nome.
My preference, Mr. Chairman, is if you work on the rural airports, I'll work on the marine highway system, and whatever you don't do, I'll make sure it gets out of the marine highway system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I think Senator Olson sort of highlighted some of the challenges that with COVID money is coming in. COVID, it's my understanding, the rough rules as a general whole was that the CARES Act money could be used for COVID-related operating expenses occurred in this year that's not already funded by the budget. So I think, hold on. So I think the issue, and then I think in most cases you can't replace revenue either. So this is, there's a lot of challenges with this to try to spend it in the right buckets and get audited correctly. You mentioned that with the federal government, so you're not stepping on anybody's toes or violating provisions. And that has been the challenge, I think, up and down from Utqiagvik all the way to Ketchikan. But I think what's happening is that there has been some communities, I know that we saw this in Anchorage, Senator Wilikowski, is that when utilizing normal operating budgets, if there's CARES Act money that can be put in to help with the operating budget, some of those funds can be moved to potential capital projects, especially if those are high priority. So those are, I'm not suggesting that's what entities should do, but I do recall that came out in the newspaper earlier this year when we were looking at the homeless shelters and so forth. So anyway, that's just my comment. And if you wanted to comment on that.
Let's try to speak into the microphone.
I apologize. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just make a comment as well. That
yes.
In spite of what it looks like on the surface for a capital investment, when you have an airport that's shut down where you can't get COVID-infected people out of the community or you can't get the vaccine into the community because of the lack of equipment or the lack of the maintenance of the equipment, that I find is justifiable to have CARES Act.
Senator Bishop has something to say about the equipment fleet. He'll also be working on the subcommittee and maybe to configure this out. But Senator Bishop.
Just another comment. We've been working this for 3 years for Senator Olson, and we thought we were really close last year with SEF, but there again, we increased the budget. It was vetoed, and so I think this snowblower probably fell out. But my comment, and it's not a dig to anybody, we've got a lot of money floating around. If we can replace an engine on a King Air, we can get a snowblower for Gullivan to get that King Air to get the vaccine in, get it out, get people in, get it out.
Let me real quick comment on that.
Senator Olson.
It's not just for Gullivan. I'm looking at equipment for it's for the people in the rural areas that also have other airport needs.
All right. So we'll work on this issue. Any other questions on this slide? Dealing with the Marine Highway. Senator Olson kind of queued that up. There's been quite a depletion in the Marine Highway Fund, and I see there's $10 million here for operating assistance. Was there any consideration of backfilling the Marine Highway Fund that's been had a diet? Actually, it's anorexic and bulimic.
Chair Stedman, within the CERSA Act, there is some ability to utilize some of this money for the Alaska Marine Highway System. And as I mentioned earlier, we've yet to allocate all of those dollars. And so, that can be part of that discussion and how those monies are used.
Okay, so we'll work on that situation through the budgetary process, and we're early in it, and we'll be having subcommittee hearings, particularly on the Marine Highway like we had before, along with the equipment fleet and other issues. And we'll work with the administration and try to keep the expenditures down in the operating budget while we take care of the most needy issues in front of us. We have other comments on page 11. Okay, we'll go on to page 12.
So with page 12, I'll hand it over to Paloma Harbor to discuss some of the community relief that was sent through the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development.
Thank you. Again, for the record, Paloma Harbor with the Office of Management and Budget. Of the state's $1.25 billion in coronavirus relief funds, 45% was distributed to communities through community relief grants for a total of $568.6 million. This was so that local governments could meet the unique needs in their communities for their residents and businesses. As of January 29th, only 27 communities had not yet entered into an agreement with the state for $2.5 million. there are still 51 community or 51 payments pending for a total of $33 million, and 44 communities have fully spent their funding. 21 communities originally rejected funding because of the tight time frame and the unknown restrictions on the funding and just uncertainty. But a majority of those are reconsidering accepting this funding with the extended timeline through December 31, 2021.
Questions on this slide? Can we get a breakdown of the communities, the underlying data on this slide also, just for backup data?
Yes, we can.
Seeing no questions, we'll go on to 13.
Again, as of their January reports, which include spending through December, communities have reported spending $464.6 million. 35% of that has been payroll for public health and safety. 22% has been small business assistance. 16% is other economic support. 9% for housing support. And 7.5% for public health expenses. A number of communities have used their funding to help offset costs to individuals, as we mentioned yesterday, including utility expenses, heating expenses, stove oil. The majority of that either goes into housing support or other economic support.
It was mentioned earlier by Senator Von Imhoff, my understanding is these are not to replace other budget items and under the normal course of business. And what can you give us kind of a overview of of that particular concern that some communities may possibly misinterpret or intentionally not follow those guidance and the implications of that?
Chair Stedman, there is one key exception to the budgeted expenditures rule, and that is if the expense is for a substantially different use. So specifically public health and safety employees, their entire payroll can now be offset with coronavirus relief funds, even if they were originally in your budget, because they are now considered being used for a substantively different use in the mitigation and response to COVID. So there are a couple exceptions like that, including education. There's some areas where as education expenses are being shifted to developing distance learning, those expenses, even though they were maybe originally in the budget, are now being covered by coronavirus relief funds. But yes, for the most part, they can't cover general administrative expenses or anything else that's not being substantially diverted. Did I answer your question?
Which is always a concern that generally across the board that if you are receipt of these federal funds, you fall within the compliance of the definitions because it could come back to bite you.
Yes, and it was especially difficult for communities as the guidance and FAQs continued to change and were delayed.
Okay. We have other questions on this. Senator Wilkowski, did you flag me for a question? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll go on to next slide.
Okay, so this slide is just a little bit of information on the state's coronavirus or response spending, I guess, COVID expenditures. The majority of the expenditures have been supported with federal funds, all those federal funds we've talked about, and a majority of those have gone out as grants, $1.1 billion. But there are state expenditures related to COVID. We mentioned yesterday during our presentation that there's under the Paycheck Protection or the Family Act, I can't remember the name of it, it required COVID leave and it expanded family medical leave related to COVID. The expense, or that's considered COVID-19 leave, and the state has incurred about $6.7 million in expenses. related to that, and $71 million in other COVID payroll costs, $753,000 in travel expenditures, $47.8 million in services, $21.5 million in laboratory supplies, $32.3 million in other supplies, which includes laptops for telework and other telework equipment, and then $3.1 million in capital and outlay equipment, again, primarily supporting telework and secure telework environment. Any questions?
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Paloma, the $32 million, did you say, on other supplies? You mm-hmm. talked about laptops, so that would be where the Department of Administration purchased the 4,300 laptops yesterday?
That is correct.
Thank you.
There were other equipment purchases as well to support teleworking.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll speed along to slide 15.
So this, again, has been reported to the legislature monthly as, along with our COVID expenditures. There was significant impact to revenue to the state as a result of COVID. And again, this is not something that coronavirus relief funds can be used to offset. In total for the state, for FY20, it was about $582 million in projected lost revenue. And that was based on a comparison of our full forecast for FY20 compared to actual October revenue estimates. FY21 is $785 million, and FY22, $687 million. And this, obviously, the impact by program varies significantly. The University of Alaska estimates they lost $36.5 million as a result of COVID. The Alaska Marine Highway System reports estimates $22 million in lost revenue. The Fish and Game Fund projects $15.1 million in sport fish and $3 million in wildlife conservation. Commercial passenger vessels, again, because we did not have a cruise ship in season last year, lost $7.6 million. DNR had a variety of programs that lost $2.6 million. The Technical Vocational Education Program projected a loss of $1.9 million, and the State Training and Employment Program, $1.2 million. The Alaska Vocational Technical Center projected losing $1.2 million, and as Director Steininger mentioned earlier, a majority of that has resulted in a supplemental ask for AFTEC.
And if we could get some assistance, and I see you got the three fiscal years, if you could break down those fiscal years, kind of like the program revenue loss estimates there, so we can get an idea, because we're working with multiple fiscal years here, 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. I see we go all the way back to 20. So the committee can get a good feel for those. We have got to, or we have been working on pulling out the COVID impact around the state and helping the administration peel back the onion, so to speak, of the budget, so we can get to the underlying structural deficit number, and then we can have a discussion here at the committee how to fix that mm-hmm. before we run out of cash in a couple of years or so. So it would be helpful. Also, for the subcommittees, it'd be very helpful when they look at their subcommittee budgets to recognize some of these impacts. Hopefully, they're one-time. One-time being one event, I should say, over multiple years.
Sure. And Chair Steadman, I would like to mention that for the program revenue loss estimates, those are just FY20 and 21. They have not projected forward to 22 yet. The Department of Revenue did a whole statewide estimate at the top level for 22, but.
So when you guys break that down, FY20 mm-hmm. and 21, and maybe mm-hmm. we can get some kind of a guess on 22 or whatever, and we don't expect sure. perfection. We know it's pretty darn tough to guess what's coming in 22. Cruise ships is a classic example.
Right.
They may not show up in 21 at all, mm-hmm. calendar 21, and the following summer. We're hoping they come back, but we don't know at what magnitude. Our crystal ball is not very crystal. A lot of fog in it. We have any other questions on this one? Senator Bishop.
Just a comment, and to reinforce the chair just on the subcommittees. I've already been taking notes on the subcommittees I have to dive deeper into these revenue loss estimates, because there's a chance that some of these loss estimates they're taking will be come back next year. One example is leases inside a DNR. There's a forgiveness for a year in, not the forgiveness, but a deferment. Okay, so it could be showing a loss this year, but it could be coming back next year as revenue and made whole. And the other thing I'd like to say is, as this next, we should keep our eye on the ball here, as the next round of funding comes from the administration, from Congress, to see if, I hear it's going to be more flexible, might be the opportunity to backfill.
Other questions on the slides? We're on now to the slide number 16. That's the slide the budget director's been looking for 2 days.
Chair Stedman, one just closing comment, and it's been touched on a little bit throughout this. All of these numbers really are very fluid in terms of what's coming in from the federal government and, you know, future federal funds that may come in. And so all of these numbers that we've presented over the last 2 days really are kind of subject to change as more information comes, particularly those revenue numbers. We're only halfway through fiscal year 21, and those are really just estimates done by the departments based on sort of limited information and in the lens of the time that they're sitting in. So future changes can greatly impact that. And as we've gone over the last 2 days, there's been a lot of complexity and change at the federal level in terms of guidance and rules surrounding the use of this money. And so as we've been working through this over the last year, really it's been invaluable, the assistance that we've received from other entities like your Legislative Finance Division, Legislative Office, or Legislative Audit, the Division of Finance, everybody really coming through as a lot of these changes has happened over the last year to help make sure that everybody has the most current information and that we're able to respond as best we can. And so really this has been a pretty massive team effort. I know Paloma yesterday mentioned a lot of national organizations that have come together to try and understand this better as well. And so, you know, it's a fluid moving target with a lot of complexity, a lot of different rules for different pots of money. But, you know, we're working through this to understand the best deployment of these funds to provide the best response and best recovery from this pandemic.
And that's pretty much on point. It is a team effort to try to unwind this COVID money in multiple tranches and more coming, and then integrate it into our budget process. OMB has been very helpful in clarifying, you know, the different pots and working with Ledge Finance and this committee. And we've got, I'm hoping, about a third of the work done on getting to the underlying, or maybe half the work done getting to the underlying structural issue. And then we can start trying to figure out how we're going to stop the erosion that appears to be maybe $18 billion or so over the last few years, get that turned around, because we don't have those resources anymore to fall back on. So any questions on the presentation yesterday and today before we conclude today? Seeing none, tomorrow we're going to pick up with a discussion on the Department of Education. It'll be a day of education, both for the committee and on the subject matter. K-12, we'll take a look at the operating and formula with a formula review of around the schools, and we'll have the opportunity to start getting a discussion with the department on one of our fundamental constitutional obligations is education of our children. And then we'll have presentation dealing with the University of Alaska, the FY2 operating and legislative priorities. So we'll see everybody tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. We are adjourned.